Can you just worship him? Can you give him praises? Can you honor him? Can you give him adoration? There is none like him. There is none like him. We give you praises. We give you honor. We give you all adoration. Can you go ahead and worship him even in your local dialect? Perhaps you may be struggling. You may not find such word that you can use to describe him. Can you go ahead and worship him in that local dialect? We give you praises, Lord. We give you praises, Lord. Thank you for gathering us unto yourself this evening once again. Thank you for what you are set to do tonight. Can you just go ahead and thank him in anticipation for what he is set to do? Can you just go ahead and appreciate him? Go ahead and thank him. Go ahead and appreciate him. We give you praises. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. Glory be to your holy name. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Father, we worship you. We honor you. Thank you for gathering us unto yourself again this evening. Lord, we ask that which you have purposed in your heart for every one of us, it will not elude us. In the name of Jesus. And by faith and with faith we receive this evening. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Lord, we ask that you will speak to our hearts. You will grant us understanding. And Lord, for me, you will use me as a vessel, a channel only, through whom you will pass through unto several lives. In the name of Jesus, we give you praises. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. If you are happy to be in his presence, can you just give God a round of applause? You can do it better than that. You can, if you are happy, except if you are not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. I'd like you to welcome someone by your left and to your right to his presence this evening. Just welcome someone. Just welcome someone with a smile. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. Amen. By the grace of God, we'll be looking at a few scriptures this evening, you know, and we trust the Lord that he will grant us understanding and our life will not remain the same. In the name of Jesus. In the recent time, we have been looking at a particular topic, the power of service, which means service has a power, or it has power. Then later we looked at the blessings of service, the heart of service, and all of that. Praise God. Now this evening, I'd like us to look at the topic, serving by grace. Serving by grace. Serving by grace. Praise the Lord. I like to say that it is by grace that we do what we do. Not because we are the best, not because we are the most qualified. It is by grace. It is by grace. You know, if for any reason you may need to serve, say, the president of a nation, certain qualifications will be considered. And if the president is going to choose maybe a few, you will probably not be one of them. But our God is greater than the president of any nation. Yet he has qualified us to serve him. Praise the Lord. And you know, it is not angels that God has called to serve him. Not because he doesn't have enough angels to serve him. Praise the Lord. And that is why for me, I see serving God as a privilege. Because if he had needed angels to serve him, he has more than enough. Praise God. Yet, he called me to serve him. A sinner enlisted into the ministry of service by grace. It is by grace. Praise the Lord. And such grace we must not take it for granted. It is by grace we have been called to serve. It is by grace we have been called to minister. And it is by grace we have been called to lead. At whatever capacity, it is by grace. In fact, it is not by works. If it were to be by works, several persons, of course you know that which you do now in service unto him, there are people that can do it far, far better. And they will achieve greater reward. Yet, he called you to serve him in that capacity. It's by grace. Please, can you help me tell somebody it is by grace? It is by grace. It is not by works. And you can't even boast about it. Praise the living Jesus. You can't even boast about it. Why? Because it is by grace. It is him that actually called you to serve him. It's the same him who empowered you. So you actually contributed nothing. The only thing you contributed is to make yourself available. Praise the Lord. It is by grace. Hallelujah. And I pray that the Lord will help us to understand the measure of this grace in the name of Jesus. Again, that we are stewards of this grace. Stewards of this grace. Unto everyone that grace has been given. Someday, he will ask you, the grace that I bestowed on you to serve me, what have you done with it? Don't forget that you never paid for the grace. And the grace you receive is not by works. It is by his grace he bestowed on you grace upon grace to serve him. Praise the Lord. Now, very quickly, can we look at the book of Matthew? So, if it is by grace we have been called, let me tell someone, you are a carrier of God's grace. You are a carrier of God's grace. You know, sometimes when you ask some people to come and serve God or come and do one thing or the other, they will complain. They will tell you what they cannot do. Not what they can do. They will tell you their inadequacies. And I discovered that even from the days of Moses, so it was when God called Moses to come and serve him. He said, Lord, you know I'm a stammerer. Praise God. When he called Gideon, Gideon said, you know I am the least in my father's house. Praise God. But one of the things they did not recognize is that God never called any man to serve him by his effort. Praise God. God never called any man to serve him by his strength. Every man that God ever called to serve him is serving him by the grace of God that is available unto him. Hallelujah. Now, can we quickly look at Matthew chapter 25? We'll look at verse 14 downward. Matthew 25 from verse 14. We'll be looking at a few scriptures, you know, as we try to understand, you know, this measure of grace for service. Hallelujah. Now, very common scriptures. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, from verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 12 talents, to another 2. Sorry, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straight away he took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained these 5 talents. And you know the rest of the story. Each of them was given a talent. Now, I like to establish here that regardless of the level you may be operating in Christ Jesus, there is a talent that has been bestowed on you. Praise the Lord. There is a grace that has been bestowed on you. And it is actually grace meant to serve the Lord. Now, all of them were given according to their ability. We will come to understand that whatever grace you have, it is actually according to your ability. God knows every man's ability, and he gives them grace according to their ability. Now, you see this man who received 1 talent. And his reason was, he said, I know that thou art a wicked servant. I mean, a wicked master. Hallelujah. You know, several of us, sometimes, as you are seated now, sometimes you might think, Kai, if I have grace like Daddy Joe, I will serve the Lord. But the measure of the grace that is available to you now, how much have you used it to serve the Lord? Or you will say, what Pastor T is doing now? If I have grace like him, I will do better. But can I say to you that even the little grace that is available to you, if you have not been able to judiciously utilize it to make profit for heaven, even when God gives you the whole grace available, you will still not do anything with it. Praise God. Because he received only 1 talent. The Bible says he went and hid it. Now, my question to you this evening is, where have you hidden the grace that you have received? And God expected that when he will return, everyone must make profit upon this. Look, your grace in your life, I mean the grace of God in your life, is like a loan to you. You will have to return it with interest. And you know, nobody ever give loan to someone and expect him to both the interest and the capital. Just go away with it. Someday, the owner of the grace will come and say, what have you done with the grace that I bestowed on you? And how much have you made on it? Now, you will recall that man, that was the only sin he committed. And the Bible says, bound him hand and foot and cast him into the lake of fire, where there shall be what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. That was the end of that man's story, though a parable. Now, when you look at that same passage from the message of chapter 26 and chapter 27, the Bible says the master was furious. That is a terrible way to live. Verse 27. I like you to put it on the screen, though I'm reading the message from here. The master was furious and he said, that is a terrible way to live. It is criminal to live cautiously like that. If you know it was after the best, why did you do less than the least? So every man who has received grace and has not put it to use, the Bible says it is a criminal manner of living. I mean, somebody bestowed on you grace, and then you dig the earth and hide it, and hid it, and you never put it to use. You are a criminal. We don't have such in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is a criminal and terrible way to live. If you know it was after the best, why did you do the less? I mean, do less than the least. The least you can have, I mean, the least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Praise God. When he will appear, may we have interest upon the grace he has bestowed on us. In the name of Jesus. And of course, every opportunity God has given us to serve him is a measure of grace. Every opportunity he has given you to serve him is a measure of grace. Some persons may be looking for such opportunity, but they never have it. They never get it. And we will definitely give account for them. But for some, they wasted it. And I call them wasters of divine resources, because the grace they received is a divine resource. They wasted it for whatsoever. Now, if you read some other versions, the Bible says they tie it in the napkin. They never put it to use. They never put it to use. I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus. Now, when you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11, 1 Peter chapter 4, and the Bible says, whatever gift each of you may have received, use it in service to one another. Like good steward, dispensing the grace of God in its varied form. Are you a speaker? Speak as if you alter oracles of God. Do you give service? Give it as in the strength which God supplies in all things, so that in all things, so act that the glory may be God's through Christ Jesus, to him belongs glory and power forever and ever. In all things, serve one another according to the grace that God supplies. And sometimes it's not as if we don't actually have the grace, but for some selfish reasons, you know, I like to look at this again from the Message, and it says, everything in the world is about to wrap up. So take nothing for granted. Take nothing for granted. Even the service to which you have been called, take nothing for granted. Should you take it for granted? The Message says it is a criminal manner of living. Praise God. Take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayers. Most of all, love each other as if your life depends on it. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God has given unto you, and all of that. Stewards of his grace. A steward is someone that when his master will return, he will give account of what he has done with all that he has, you know, been given. All the divine resources, all the grace, all the gift that you have received. And I ask, how much profit are you making for the kingdom of God? You know, if it was something that is meant to make profit into your pocket, you will be zealous about it. But someday, the owner of the grace will come. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Now, again, to stress the fact that every one of us has received grace. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can you give it to us? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. Okay. Verse 7. Yeah, from here it says, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many? Every man. Every man. Every man. To profit withal. It is given to every man. It is given to every man. It is given to every man. To profit withal. It is given to every man. Now, and I read on. It said, for to one is given the Spirit I mean, by the Spirit, word of wisdom, to another, word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another, working of miracle, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirit, to another, diverse kinds of tongue, to another, interpretation of tongue. Now, when you look at verse 11, he said, but all this worketh that one and same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that body are being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Unto everyone is given grace. Unto everyone is given a measure of grace. It does not matter the size you have received. The most important thing is that he giveth grace unto every man according to their abilities. According to their abilities. So, the last time you were thinking, hey, Sister Jennifer, the grace she's operating now is a super grace, an anointing. And since my own is just one measure, and her own is 10 measures, let me just relax and allow them to walk. You will give account of it. And should you be operating at a very high realm, and you see another brother that his own grace is incomparable to what you have received, and you are looking down on her, can I say to you, when you look at verse 11, the Bible says, but all this worketh that one and same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So it is as he wills, he divides to every man severally. Not as you will, it is as he will. So while you are looking down on someone, because of the grace he is operating, is incomparable to yours. Who are you actually querying in your heart? The one who divided to him as he will. Praise God. Or the next time you are probably thinking, this grace is greater than mine, let me just allow him to keep on doing that work. You are simply, querying the God who has divided to you that same portion as he will. Don't forget that the man who received 5 talents, the one who received 2 talents, and the one who received 1 talent, all of them enter into the rest of their master. Praise the Lord. All of them entered into the rest of their master. Serving by grace. Again, by the grace of God that you have received, for which you will give account. Serving by the grace of God that you have received. By the grace of God that you have received. Now, when you also look at Romans chapter 12, from verse 1, when he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is your perfect service and what have you. Now, by the time you jump to verse 3, he said, for I say, through the grace given unto me and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to be sober according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. If God has been gracious unto you to bestow on you so much manifold mercy and grace, the Bible says, do not think of yourself more highly than every other. It is he who divided unto every man as he will that choose to bestow on you such measure not because you are the strongest, and not because you are even the best. It is by grace, lest any man should boast. And such grace must be judiciously utilized in serving the Lord, the measure to which he has given you. And that is why sometimes I don't struggle. When I see somebody operating in her grace, I say, oh, that is her grace. If God has given me the grace, I will operate there. If he has not given it to me, there is no quarrel. The measure he has given to me, all I need to do is to be faithful in it and also serve the Lord. On the last day, she is getting her reward. I am getting my reward. The only challenge is when I go and heed it and I am not able to put it to use. Let no one think of himself more highly as he ought to think. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Praise the Lord. Having then gift different according to the grace that is given to you. Every man has different offices according to the grace that is given to you. And when you understand the place of your grace, you see, I was talking with one brother one day and I said, you see, the world understands this thing, even much more than the church to a very large extent. Today you see organizations trying to network. What they cannot deliver, they contact another organization to come and assist. They don't need to struggle because it's not their core area. They call XYZ company to come and deliver here and they pay them. But are you seated here this evening? You are struggling to do what God has not given you grace to achieve. You can only struggle. You might not achieve anything. Praise the Lord. And that is why the Bible says, this one is given to do this, this one is given to do this, another is given to do this. Why? Because we are one body and we operate as one. And the Bible says, for we are members of one another, serving by grace and remaining in the place of your grace. You know, I met a man some time ago who is actually, he's a talkative. And he said to me, he said, Daniel, you know I can talk. I was trying to challenge him. He said, let every man remain in his calling. That his calling is to talk. He can talk. And you know your grace, the very grace God has given you, is the same, you know, platform he will use to bless you. You remember Joseph. What was the grace available to him? Huh? Sorry? No, it was to dream. Before even interpretation. Now, supposing God is giving this one the gift of prophecy, and he will come and prophesy, and everybody is clapping, and God is giving you dreams and interpretation of dreams. You will say, God, what is this thing you are giving me? When you are giving everybody, you know, power to do miracle and all of that, you are giving me gift to be dreaming. Why should I be dreaming? But do you know that it was that same gift that placed that guy in a position in his wildest dream he would not have been able to dream? Hallelujah. Now, I like to say to you that regardless of the grace you have received, there is no inferior grace to another. Maybe you will say, my own is just to keep ushering people and place them where they are supposed to sit. There is no inferior grace. Every grace is given to each one according to the measure of the gift he has received. If only you will put it to use judiciously, you will see result. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Serving by grace. Serving by grace. Not by works, lest any man should boast. It is the grace of God. It is such a divine enablement that he has given us. And he said, having then gift different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, since we are not dealing with gifts and what have you, I won't bother us to look at all of those. Now, can we quickly look at this? What is God's pattern then for raising a man that he has bestowed grace upon? Now, it does not matter the measure of grace you have received. There is a pattern for putting that grace to work. Now, do you remember Moses? Even though it was already established of what he is going to do and achieve for God. When you look at the life of Moses from chapter 2, the moment he discovered that an Egyptian is fighting with his brother, nobody invited him. He came, he killed the Egyptians, and the Bible says he covered him quickly with the sand. And the following day, he saw a Hebrew fighting or quarreling with another, and he said, why do you quarrel with your brethren? And what was their response? He said, who made you a ruler over us? Now, there is a point of making, and you must wait until he make you. Regardless of the grace and the anointing that is available to you, you don't just jump and say, yes, I have the anointing now, I have the grace now. And you see, no matter how men may even be crying, you remember that even Jesus, at some point they wanted to make him a king. What did he do? He escaped. It was not yet time for him to be king, even though he was born a king. Whatever grace you have received, wait until God himself is done making you. What God does to men that he has graced or he has bestowed his grace is that first he make them. And then he give them a platform. He give them a platform. Now, recall that shortly after that, the Bible says, and the cry of the Israelite came up to God. And then he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he called Moses. And actually, before he called him, you remember how he went to Zipporah's father's house. What's his name now? Phuel. You know? Zipporah's father. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Let's look at it quickly. Hallelujah. Okay, when you get it, we'll take it together. And the Lord allowed him to remain there until he is made. And then he gave him his daughter, Zipporah, to marry. And then God created a platform for him in Egypt. In Egypt. And when he appeared there, he was honored this time. Yesterday, they asked him, who made you? This time, they have no choice than to honor him. When God bestows his grace on you and you wait until you are made and he is the one giving you a platform, men will listen to you. Even kings couldn't challenge him. Even when they tried to challenge him by their own spiritual power, it could not last. And then he empowered him. The rod of Moses became the rod of God. What looks ordinary in the hand of Moses became a supernatural tool in his hand to wrought wonders for God. The grace you have received, if only you know how much you can achieve with it, you will pay attention in serving God with that same measure of grace. Praise God. Now, he did not just give him a platform. He did not just empower him. He makes sure of him. Now, can I ask you, have you ever seen a furniture who finished smoothing the wood, everything? He has not yet coupled them, and he brings them to the showroom, scattered. Have you ever seen someone like that? Nobody brings a product to the showroom that is not yet finished. Wait until God is done making you. And he will be the one. I mean, the furniture or the furniture will not carry itself to the showroom. It is the maker who will bring it to the showroom. And everyone that comes to the showroom will say, wow, this is a good product. Wait and let your maker make sure of you. Look, don't allow the grace that is available to you to enter your head so much that you are trying to run ahead of his divine plan in service. And honestly, all the errors you see today in the body of Christ, this is what caused it. Men that run ahead of God. Men that run ahead. It's not that they don't have grace, though. I don't deny the fact that they were anointed. But they run ahead of God. And of course, you know, Moses was anointed. He was actually born for a purpose. But you see that there was this zeal in him trying to achieve now, even when God was not yet done with him. Serving by grace. I pray that we will not be too faster than God. And you know that for Moses, the Bible says Pharaoh sought to kill him. Thank God that there was grace available for him to flee. He fled. Now, trying to launch yourself ahead of God's timing, regardless of the grace that you are seeing now, is trying to endanger your life. You might come across certain spiritual forces asking for deliverance, and you go and try. I have experienced it before. Praise God. 2006. You know? Oh my God. I have a friend in secondary school, Williams Oboro and Isaiah. We're all friends. President of the FCS, General Secretary, Treasurer, and all of that. And they just came. They will come and say to me, brother, you need to pay the price so that when you stand, something is happening. And I said, the way these people are operating now, I need to pay the price. Oh, I will pray all night, ignorant boy. Are you there? One day, they organized crusade in a particular village. God saved me that I was not part of it. When they got there, I'm telling you what happened to my friends. This was in 98. When they got there, a woman actually hosted them and gave them wonderful treat. And there was a shrine close to the crusade venue. So they packed themselves and they said they are going to Kabash and all of that. Actually, they are all pastors now. I don't deny the fact that they have grace and anointing. Wow. Oboro is a pastor in Port Harcourt. Isaiah is a pastor in Taraba. Williams is a pastor in Benin. And they go there. Oh my God. I don't know what happened. They ran away. And they left their Bibles there. It was Oboro's elder brother, David, who went the following day to pack their Bible from the shrine. Praise the Lord. And when we asked them, they said, what they saw. I said, thank God I was not part of you guys. Praise God. The grace that you have received, wait until God is giving you a platform. Until God is giving you a platform. And then they were just preaching heresies. Okay, let's move on. Let me leave that one. Oh my God. The Lord will help us. Don't run ahead of God. Moses tried it. It was grace that preserved him. Pharaoh would have killed him. But when God himself launched him forth, you know how much he achieved for God. And one of the major challenges we have in our days is that the moment even a new convert sees a little measure of grace, he will say the Lord has called him. Eh? Praise the Lord. And he will quickly carve ministry around that little measure of grace that is actually meant to serve. Praise God. The Lord will help our heart that we serve and serve him genuinely. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What God does to a man that he has bestowed his grace. Number one. Oh yeah, now look at it. Number one, what is it? Yes, he makes the man. He gives him a platform. He empowers him. And he makes sure of him. Who made you? Have you been made? Now, I know that you have no doubt at all that we have already established that everyone has received a measure of grace. And it is not to profit yourself. It is to do what? To profit without. To profit everyone. And the Bible went further to say, for we are members of one another. So the grace that God has given to you is actually to profit me. And not for yourself. Now, if you read that 1 Corinthians downward, you will discover that the Bible says all that he gave is for the edification of the church, for the, what now? For the perfecting of the saints, and for the work of the ministry. So you discover that all the grace that he gave, none of them was actually meant to profit yourself. It is to profit us. So, every grace that you have received that you choose not to use to profit me, you are only robbing me of God's grace in your life. He gave you grace. He gave you grace. He gave you grace to profit us, to edify us, to build us, and to perfect us. And you never use it for such purpose. I don't want to say you are robbing us, but you are actually robbing us. You are robbing the body of Christ. And perhaps you now want to quickly make something out of it for yourself and for yourself alone. On the last day, you will give account of it. Unto every man. Unto every man. Now, I pray that the Lord will help us. First, that we will understand the measure of the grace he has given unto us. And never to be comparing ourselves. Now the Bible says, woe to them who compare themselves with themselves. Every now and then, every time you are called to come and serve, you are comparing what he can do that you cannot do. What about the one you can do? You are comparing what Pastor Tunde is doing that, if only you can do that, we serve God better. The measure you have, how much have you achieved with it. It is a loan to your life. How much have you achieved with it? Can we just rise up on our feet and talk to God? Have you actually been serving Him by the measure of grace available to you? Or you actually hid it? I'd like you to rise up on your feet as we talk to God together. Serving by grace. What has been your challenge? What has been your challenge? The grace that you have received, have you been serving Him faithfully?